Well, good afternoon. I do have the challenge of keeping you awake, so I decided I was going to put some car batteries on the pews. And that way, if you start to doze off, I could just push a button and, you know, give you a little jolt there to wake you up. But then I realized, you know what, car batteries are just too expensive. So I put worms in your pews. I'm just kidding. Those of you who checked, don't have to worry. Okay, well, this afternoon, we're going to be talking about sowing seeds. Well, I'm not going to teach you how to use a needle and a thread. Instead, we're going to talk about sowing seed. When we look in the Bible, we read this well-known parable about Jesus, telling a story of a man who went out to scatter seeds on four different kinds of soils. Now, I have a test for you, and I realize that you're full and you're tired and you don't want to take a test right now, but I have a test I want to give you. What is the name of that parable? What does Jesus give as a name for that parable? Is it A, parable of the soils, B, parable of the sower, or C, Jesus didn't really give it a name in the Bible? I actually want you to answer this. By show of hands, who thinks this is A, parable of the soils? See a couple hands. All right, who thinks it's the parable of the sower? See several more. Who thinks that Jesus didn't give it a name? All right, several of you think Jesus didn't give it a name. Well, as always, we need to go to the Bible for the answer. Let's look at Matthew chapter 13, if you would. In Matthew 13, we find the answer, but we're going to read the parable. And this is one of those parables in which Jesus gives the parable, and then a little bit later on, he actually gives the explanation for it. So we're going to begin with the parable itself, which is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now that's the parable itself, and Jesus gives the explanation of this beginning in verse 18. "Therefore hear the parable of the sower." You see, Jesus does give us the answer to this question. He does give it a title, and he entitles this the parable of the sower. Let's go ahead and read the rest of the explanation. Verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now, we put a lot of emphasis on the soils when we talk about this particular parable. In fact, you will hear sermons talking about how we need to be that good soil, and that is very true. We should be that good soil. But notice that Jesus says this is a parable of a sower. In other words, the focus of this parable, Jesus said, is not the soils, it's on the sower. And so this afternoon, let's do that for a moment. Let's focus on the sower. And what this means once we look at who the original audience was. First of all, what can we learn from this? First and foremost, we read the same parable in the book of Luke, chapter 8. And in verse 11, Jesus says, "The seed is the word of God." So the seed that we are to sow is the word of God, plain and simple. We're not supposed to sow anything else, just simply God's word. So as we go into all the world and we go to our neighbors, that is what we're going to sow. We're going to sow God's word. Because when you think about it, that's the only way to grow a crop of Christians. If you want to grow in your garden, tomatoes, for example, well, I was told this button's a little touchy. I guess I got a little touch with it. Let me go back to where I need to be. Here we go. If you go out into your garden, you want to plant tomatoes, what do you plant? You plant corn seed? Do you plant watermelon seed? If you want tomatoes, you plant tomato seed. Well, if you want to grow Christians, what do you plant? You plant Christian seeds. You plant the Bible. You plant the Word of God. Because only the Word of God will produce Christians. And the second thing that we learn from this is that I believe this is the most important thing, is that we are supposed to be sowing the seed where? Everywhere and on everyone. Notice that in the parable, the sower did not discriminate on who received the seed or where the seed fell. In other words, when he scattered the seed out, it fell on that hard soil that didn't accept it. It fell on the stony soil, fell on the thorny soil, it fell on the good soil. In other words, it went everywhere. And since this is a parable about the sower, then the point is that we are supposed to spread the seed of God's Word everywhere on everyone and not discriminate over who receives it or who doesn't. You see, we look at this person sometimes and we may think, wait, look at that person over there. I don't think that person's going to believe the gospel. I don't think that person's going to listen. So I'm not even going to try. Don't we do that? Don't we often prejudge people and say, you know what, I don't think they're going to listen. I don't think they're going to accept the Word of God. I mean, just look at their lifestyle. You really think they're interested in God's Word? And so we decide, I'm not going to sow over there. I'm just going to let that person be. It's between them and the Lord. I'm not going to waste my time. In fact, sometimes we'll even misquote Scripture. We'll say, I'm not going to cast pearls before that swine over there. Well, understand some things about that. According to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, only God knows a person's heart. We don't know what's in a person's heart. I'm on the wrong slide again, aren't I? Well, here we go. That's where we're supposed to be. All right. We don't know what's in a person's heart. Only the Lord knows. We may look at a person and think, yeah, they're just not that interested. They won't listen. But do we really know that? The Bible says only God can know that. Second of all, this is really limiting the power of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, the Word of God is living and powerful. If we look at a person and say, you know, that person would never listen. That person will never change. Then what are we really saying? We're saying that God doesn't have the power to change that person. God doesn't have the power to open that person's ears and that person's heart. And we are limiting God's power and the power of His Word when we say things like that. So shame on us if we ever prejudge somebody to say, they're not worthy soil. Or we say, they'll never change. Because when we do that, we're not sowing everywhere and on everyone as Jesus teaches us. And then second of all, we're limiting the power of God's Word to change people. 2 weeks ago, I was reading a story about a woman in Chattanooga. We all know where Chattanooga is, right? This lady was a prostitute. She worked the streets. One of our sisters in Christ saw this lady walking the street. She went and she began a conversation with this woman. And as he began to talk, that evolved into a Bible study. And now I am proud to say that this woman who used to be a prostitute is now our sister in Christ. And she is now very involved in a ministry trying to rescue other prostitutes from this lifestyle and bring them to Christ. But I want you to think about that. Here's this sister saying, look, she needs to hear. I'm going to sow the seed of God's Word on this woman. I don't know if she's good soil, if she's hard soil. I don't know what she is, but she needs Jesus. I'm just curious how many people, how many Christians drove by that same woman and looked at her and said, that's wayside soil over there. There's no point even trying to talk to her about the Lord. I mean, just look what she's doing. Look at her lifestyle. There's no way she's going to listen. I just wonder how many people thought that. You see, when we look at this parable, we realize that God wants us to sow the seed of His Word everywhere and on every one. Now, I want you to keep this in mind as we move on to another passage of Scripture. I want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 7. I mentioned it this morning, but I want to go ahead and read that this afternoon. A very familiar passage to many of you, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7. The Apostle Paul writes, "Who then is Paul, and who was Apollos, but ministers for whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." For any plant to grow, there's got to be seed involved, soil involved, and water involved. You've got to have them all there. In our particular comparison of these two passages, the soil is a person. The seed, we learned, is God's Word. And then we must water that seed that has been planted. That is the process the Bible explains. He uses this image from horticulture to say this is how you grow a Christian. You plant the seed of God's Word, you water it, and then the Lord gives increase to this person. And what does He increase them to be? What do they grow up to be? And the answer simply is they grow up to be a Christian. But what is watering? What is watering? To water is to do what is necessary to help encourage a person to obey the gospel. That's what watering is. Now, watering can be done in many different ways, many different forms. For example, you could water by further Bible study. You could water by helping them out with some physical needs. Maybe it's encouraging them to obey. Maybe it's just doing whatever needs to be done for that person to realize, you know, I want to give my life to Christ as well. That's what the watering process entails, is encouraging a person to obey the gospel. And sometimes, when you think about this, sometimes the seed of God's Word will grow in just a little bit of watering. But sometimes it's going to take lots of watering, perhaps even years of watering, before that seed grows. But here's the thing, you don't know how much watering it's going to take until you start doing it. But the point is, we've got to water the seed of God's Word for it to grow in a person so they become a Christian. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard someone pray something like this? Lord, may we live in such a way that people may see our good works and want to give their lives to you. Ever heard somebody pray that prayer? Or something similar to that? I've heard several people say that prayer in several different places. The problem with this prayer is it's not right. And you're thinking, wait a minute, well, how's it not right? Didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that when they see your good works that they'll glorify your Father in heaven? Yes, He did say that. He truly did. So what's wrong with this prayer of, Lord, may we live in such a way that people see our good works and by seeing that, they'll want to give their lives to you. The problem with that is there's no seed involved. You see, the seed is God's Word. And if all we're doing is good works and not planting any seed, guess what's going to grow? Nothing. Nothing will grow. If you want a person to become a Christian, then that means that that person has got to hear the Word of God. The seed has to be planted. You know, you could do good things, do good godly things all day long, and we should do those things, but if you never share the Word of God, then you have never planted the seed of God's Word. It's just never been done. And so what happens? If you don't plant the gospel, how do you expect a person to grow into a Christian? It just won't happen. That would be like going into your yard. And you get your yard all prepared to plant a rose bush. Roses are beautiful, aren't they? And so you go out there and you get the dirt all prepared. You get it all worked up. You get all the weeds out, all the bugs out, you fertilize it, you tend to it, you water it, and you go out there and you make sure there are no bugs, no moles coming and attacking that little piece of dirt right there, and it's just the most gorgeous little piece of dirt you ever did see. And you take care of this thing all day long. You act like you're going to have rose bushes already have rose bushes. But the problem is, until you plant the seed of a rose bush, what do you got? You just got dirt. And no rose bush is ever going to grow if you don't plant the seed. And if you just keep watering it and watering it and watering it, what do you get? Mud. That's all you get is mud. You'll never get a rose bush if you don't plant the seed of a rose. Well, you'll never get a Christian if you never plant the Word of God. In other words, if you don't share God's Word with somebody, then you have zero expectation of that person becoming a Christian. Zero. It involves the sowing of the seed on everyone, everywhere. So we have to plant the seed, as Jesus said, everywhere. Just scatter it wherever. It doesn't matter who hears, because you don't know what kind of soil they are. So scatter the seed of God's Word everywhere on everyone, meaning share the gospel with everyone who will hear. And we have to do so using words. We have to use words. We can't just simply hope that people will somehow magically receive the Word of God in their mind if we don't share it with them. We've got to share it to plant it. Our good example of Christ, that's not planting. If you really think about it, it's just watering, isn't it? Isn't that just watering? And I know what you might say. You might say, well, wait a minute. If you are not living the Christian life, then when people see you, they say, well, I thought he's supposed to be a Christian. Look at the way they're acting. And that is true. And so God wants us to live a good, godly life. However, just by simply living a good, godly life doesn't plant any seed. You've got to share the Word of God to plant the seed. And so that good, godly life that you live, that is consistent with the Word of God, is just simply watering. And that's all it is watering. Now, I'm not saying those things aren't good. Please don't take me wrong. It is good that we do good things. It's good that we help people. But I want you to think about this. If you're going to water the ground before you plant the seed, how long do you wait before you plant the seed? Imagine you want to grow this rose bush. Let's say you go out there and you get the soil wet. Perhaps it rains the night before, and the ground is still a little moist. Do you say, you know, I'll wait for that ground to get good and dry before I plant any seed? How much will grow in a good dry ground? Not a whole lot. We lived on a desert island for 6 years. Not a lot will grow in a good dry ground. In other words, it's okay to do some watering, but if you're going to water, you need to plant the seed immediately thereafter before that soil dries out. It's the same is true with people. In other words, if you help a person, you need to plant the seed as soon as you can. And not just wait and wait and wait and wait and let them dry out and then try to plant later. This is the process that the Bible has given us, that God has given us, and we should pay a little bit more attention to how we're supposed to grow Christians. So, Jesus said, we must plant the seed of God's Word everywhere, on everyone, then we must water that seed, and then God will give the increase. You see, we could pour our time, our energy, our money into doing good works, but unless the seed of God's Word is planted, nothing's going to grow. A person will not become a Christian if we don't plant the seed of God's Word. That's why Jesus has sent us into the world to sow the seed everywhere on everyone. Because, and I love this slide, every saved person is a missionary. Every unsaved person is a mission field. And I love that word field in there, because doesn't that just apply to our topic of soils? We talk about the mission field, but isn't everywhere there's a non-Christian, isn't that a mission field? Because if they have not accepted the gospel yet, they've not obeyed it, they need to hear it. Perhaps more than once. Some people will hear it, but they don't accept it right away. Why is that? There's a statement I came across here not long ago that was just brilliant. I want to share that with you. It is easier to believe a lie that you've heard 1,000 times over a truth that you've heard 1 time. Before I became a Christian, I really didn't know if I believed in God. Pretty much an atheist. And I never heard anybody tell me any alternative to evolution and all that stuff until I met my wife. And she kind of started presenting these things to me. And when she presented the idea that God created everything, I was 17 years old. This was all new to me. I'd never heard it before. And I rejected it. The truth. And I rejected it. Why? Because I had heard from numerous sources. Teachers, books, magazines, TV, movies, music, you name it, everything was saying evolution is true. And then here is this one, albeit pretty little girl, saying that's not true. And I believe the lie instead of the truth. And so maybe somebody has heard the gospel. Maybe you're thinking of somebody right now, you know, they've heard the gospel. Maybe they need to hear it again. Because even though they heard it one time, it may not be enough to really sink in, for them to really think, wait a minute, this is true. This wasn't some quirk. This wasn't some accident. This really is the truth. But again, it's planting seed and it's watering. And that's what God wants us to do. And He wants us to do that everywhere on every one. Isn't that the point of the parable of the sower? And so when He combined a parable of the sower with Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 3, I believe you get this big, beautiful picture of how evangelism is really done. It begins with planting the seed. That's got to be the most important step, is planting. If you don't plant, you don't get anything. And there's got to be watering involved. And sometimes, as I said, watering means just doing very little. Sometimes it means you got to do a lot of watering. Some people, you have to water them for 40 years before they'll grow into becoming a Christian. And some people will just never become one. But you don't know until you've planted and until you watered. You just don't know. I grew up on a farm in Kansas. My father would go out there and we'd spend days and weeks planting crops. Out there in the hot sun and in dirt and everything else, dealing with all these chemicals and you name it. And I'm probably going to die at about the age of 50 because all the chemicals I was around. But hey, I'm okay right now. So anyway... We'd go out there and we'd do all this and we plant it in the ground and you think, great, we're going to have a great crop. But the honest truth is, nothing may grow. You don't know which one of those seeds is going to grow and produce a lot, which one of those seeds will grow and produce a little, or which one of those seeds won't grow at all. You don't know until you plant it. And the same is true with people. You don't know which person is going to hear the word and they're going to just take it right in their heart and grow and produce more and more Christians. Kind of like the person talked about in Bible class this morning, right? And you don't know which ones are going to hear the Word of God and they're going to accept it, but then they're going to reject the Lord later on. And you don't know which ones are really going to look at the Word of God and say, I don't want that at all. We don't know, do we? And that's the purpose of the parable of the sower. We've got to plant everywhere on every one. Now, if we were to say, well, that's not really our job, is it? Isn't that the job of the quote-unquote professionals to do it, the preachers and the missionaries of the world? There's no way we can get it done. There's no way that we could be able to go out and sow God's word on all these billions of souls on this planet. It's up to each one of us as individual Christians to go out and plant that seed everywhere on everyone. You know, we love the stories like we heard in Bible class about the alcoholic who is now a servant of Christ, now a deacon in the Lord's church. Wonderful, that's amazing. But what if somebody had said, you know what? I think he's wayside soil. I think he's going to reject the gospel. There's no, he's a drunk. I mean, why even try? And then there's people who we think will hear God's word and just jump right at it and just say, I want that, I want all of it. And we think there'll be these outstanding Christians, and when they hear the gospel, they either, number one, reject it, or they do become a Christian, and they end up not being faithful. And you think, why? Why is that? I thought they'd be such fantastic Christians. Again, we're judging soils, we're judging hearts, and only God knows a person's heart. You see, basically, this is the deal. When you see a person, you see a soul. When you see that person, you see a mission field. Plant the seed. Don't stop and think, will they listen or will they not listen? Give them a chance. Let them be the one to make that choice of whether they will listen or not. That comes back to this morning's lesson. How are they going to hear without somebody to proclaim the message? Thus, we need to go around the world as well as to our neighbors. Tonight, this afternoon, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we want you to. Not for our benefit, but for your benefit. Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, well, you know, I don't know. I just don't know if I can. Remember what I said the most important part of evangelism was this morning? It's desire. Desire. When I became a Christian, I had grown up not going to church. We went once a year to a particular denomination on Easter. I literally heard and saw the exact same service for 17 years. I imitated it, but it was all just a joke. People would come there, people would fall asleep, people weren't paying attention. And nobody, it didn't seem like anybody was really into the service. We certainly weren't. I wasn't. I was obligated to go. And so I didn't learn the Bible growing up. In fact, when I was about 13 years old, I was watching a professional basketball game, and there's a guy holding up a sign that said, John 3:16. I didn't know what that meant. My middle brother, he comes in the house, into the room, and I say, hey, what does that sign mean? He says, what sign? I said, hold on a second. That sign right there is, oh, it's something from the Bible. All right. Well, I remember we had in this desk drawer shoved way in the back, we had a Bible in there. So I get in there, and I start digging and digging and digging and digging. I pull out this little green New Testament. I open the page 316 looking for something about John, and I don't see anything. So I just throw it back in that drawer, shut it, and I went back to watching my game. Years later, I went back and looked at it. It was a little Gideon's New Testament somewhere in the book of Acts. I didn't even know what John 3:16 meant. I started attending service with my wife at 17 years old. I learned that the story of Noah's in the Bible. You may think that's the craziest thing, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. I thought it was a Walt Disney show. My parents had nicknamed me Samson because of my long flowing hair, you can tell. They had nicknamed me Samson. My middle brother, they called him Nicodemus. I had no clue either one of these guys were in the Bible. So one day we're in worship there, and preacher reads something about Samson. I said, hey, he's in the Bible. My wife's like, yeah, duh. And I'm like, I didn't know these things. I didn't know any of these stories. I didn't know Daniel was in the Bible, you know, the giant and everything with Daniel and the lions. And I know about David and Goliath being in the Bible. I had no clue. No clue whatsoever. And I rejected it. In the beginning, I rejected it. For 3 years. I rejected the Word of God. When I was 20 years old, I was finally converted. I studied with my wife's father, a very passionate, zealous man, and he instilled that into me. And so when I was a Christian for about 2 months, I'm a baby in Christ, still wet behind the ears, and we go to this ceremony. My wife has won an award with some of her schoolmates, and it's held in this denominational church building. Kind of interesting it was there, but nevertheless, we go. And this preacher is giving a little message, and at the end of the message, he gives this invitation to invite Jesus into your heart through this prayer. And I said, whoop, that's not right. And so I went looking for a Bible. By the way, it's kind of hard to find a Bible in that church building. True story. I finally found one, and I said, sir, would you do me a favor? And he said, sure. I said, would you read Mark 16, verse 15 and 16 for me? So he reads it, and he says, you remember the Church of Christ, aren't you? I said, how did you know? I had no clue how this man knew. Of course, he didn't receive it. He rejected it. About a month later, I went to a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting with my wife. We were just dating at the time. Another young man is there. He's part of a ministry going around the world playing basketball. And they go to these different places, and they would try to evangelize these people they talk to. And, of course, they're teaching them, just pray Jesus into your heart. Now, this morning we talked about calling on the name of the Lord. And Acts 22, verse 16 says that we call on the name of the Lord through baptism. Well, when he said that, I said, oh, that's not right. So I took my Bible and went over and talked to him. I said, it's his Bible, I believe. And I said, would you do me a favor? Would you read these verses for me? And so I showed him the only two verses I knew, Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And he read it, and he said, let me read that again. And he read it again. He said, I said, do you see where the Bible says you have to believe and be baptized? It says, and. And this young man, about 24, 25 years old, who's part of a ministry going around the world teaching people the Bible, says this to me. I've never had anybody talk to me about baptism before. And here I am, 3 months old, still got a pacifier in my mouth. Mark 16, that's all I got, you know. And he starts asking questions. And he asked a very basic, simple question. He said, show me in the Bible where it says baptism is a burial. I couldn't do it. Right now, I could show him two verses. But at that time, I couldn't do it. I didn't know where they were. It motivated me to figure out, how do I do this? In other words, I had the desire. That desire led me to say, I need to find out how to explain to people, how to share the Word of God with people. And that desire is what drove me to find out. So it begins with desire. When you have that desire, you will go out, you will plant the seed, you will water the seed so people can become Christians. But if you're here today and not a Christian, why not? Ask yourself this honest question. Why not? What are you waiting for? If you want to know more what we believe, what we teach, please give us a chance to share with you. Again, all we can do is give you the information. It's your choice what you do with it. That's all we can do. But we would just love to have that opportunity. But if you know that you're ready to give your life to Christ today, well, we'd love to help you do that. We'd love to see the Lord give the increase right now. But if you need prayers, if you need prayers to ask God to give you the desire to go out and talk to people, if you need to ask God to give you just that passion, let's do that. If there are people you want to study with, start praying for them. Start praying for them now. And then go and plant the seed. Plant. Don't just water. Plant. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. This is your opportunity to come forward, to ask the Lord what you need, whether you need to be saved or whether you need forgiveness of sins or you need to ask for desire. We're here to pray for you. The Lord is powerful. His word is powerful. And He can help you. And I believe He will help you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you will search for me and seek me. Or you will find me when you search me and seek with me with all your heart. You can find the Lord. But it's up to you to do the searching. If you need to respond, please come now as we stand and sing.